Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story. Swap the antiquated planters and benches for more outdoor dining and sort of living room style furniture where you're, so it's comfy and you enjoy it.
Really, I love this. You're really activating both ends of Fayetteville Street that way.
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. Fayetteville Street, our central business district, is the face of our downtown, city, and state. The once vibrant, bustling street has lost its luster. Recently, Downtown Raleigh Alliance, or DRA, released a 10-point plan to bring vibrancy back to Fayetteville Street. With me today to talk about the plan to breathe new life into the area's editor-in-chief, Melissa Housem. Melissa, thanks for being here.
Yeah, we've been talking about Fayetteville Street for a while. We've done a couple podcasts on this, a couple stories, all of which went viral. I think there's a really deep interest in downtown's luster, as you say. I love that. You know, I want to say a year ago now was when we introduced that this plan was coming.
Right.
So it's nice to see it start to take shape.
It is 100-page plus report. I mean, yes, we went through every page and we printed it more than once. Yeah. But it targets the corridor between the State Capitol and Martin Marietta Performing Arts Center. And they're looking to make it more attractive, competitive, and connected.
Yeah. They were looking at other cities to see like what's working in other cities in terms of attractions, what we're missing. Ways to activate this street and the space to get people to come back. And like you said, the plan was over 100 pages. Obviously, we weren't going to cover that all. And we didn't even cover all 10 points of the major points.
We kind of picked out the ones that resonated with us. Mm-hmm. And we thought those were the ones that visually we shared in our new March issue.
Which is out now.
Get a copy because we're not going to cover everything we said. But overall, I mean, some of these things really seem spot on.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, I'm not going to do these in any particular order.
No, yeah.
But I think one of the constant conversations, starting with something that's impactful, but maybe not as bright and bold and seems more logical, is there's a parking shortage and people are having to pay a lot for parking. And so one of the options that they're suggesting is creating longer time allowances on apps and possibly making the first 2 hours in parking decks free.
Love that.
I do too, because obviously that'll get people to stay downtown longer.
Yeah, that's something we've talked about on here before. We did have a conversation on here about how when we're parked outside right now, if that time runs up, you can't renew it, and you can't even renew it in the same zone.
No.
So you would literally have to go get in your car, move it to another zone.
I really don't like this.
And if you're in, I'm not going to do that right now, recording a podcast, but I'm definitely not going to do it if I'm at Raleigh Times having a drink. You know, I'm going to do, I'm going to leave.
Right.
Or I'm going to get a ticket. So neither of those are viable for most people. So I think a lot, it's a deterrent. So this is a big attractor. I think they're spot on.
And I get why they started it. Think back before COVID. They started it because they wanted more street parking for people to be able to dash in and out of retail downtown to be able to get in quickly. And then if you were going to be down here for a longer period of time, to go into a parking deck.
It is an interesting conversation because you also could just have parking hogs. Some people park all day and don't leave and keep renewing. But yeah, I mean, there has to be somewhere in the middle.
Right.
So this is nice because it's that first 2 hours.
The first 2 hours would be free. And if this goes through, it would be in the parking decks, the city-owned parking decks, let's be clear.
Right. And a lot of this stuff, we should say that too. This is the plan. Not all of it is definite. It's all published because it's all stuff that they think is viable options. But some of it they're starting on. Some of it is just, these are what's been recommended.
And DRA is encouraging you that if you see something you like and that you really are passionate about, to reach out to your city council person who represents your district and tell them what you think, because that will help with funding to get a lot of this stuff done.
Oh, for sure.
The other one that I think is an obvious, and you experience this in lots of cities, is the lack of public restrooms.
No, don't get
Nothing's worse than being in a city. You don't know where, you know, you don't know where things are. You don't know what's public. And obviously you walk into a restaurant, you got to eat to use the bathroom. You got to be a customer or it's retail.
This fun fact about me, I just famously have used bathrooms all over, everywhere we go, all over the country. And so my family, like literally if someone wants to know where a bathroom is and we're all out, they'll be like, ask Melissa. So I just, you know, I like to know where they are. You know this about me too.
You know? If you have kids,
And so I just think that is a thing. Like I'm used to downtown. I would know where to go, but it is a good point that if you're not that comfortable, or what if you were visiting, I don't like that in other cities
you don't know. So one of the ideas that they've put forth is, I love these, relief station, self-cleaning public bathrooms. Mm-hmm. They are not porta-johns. So be clear. They don't look like porta-johns. They don't act like porta-johns. But they're free bathrooms. They're sort of, the only way I know to describe them is just sort of silver, stainless steel looking boxes.
Like a pod that are
adjacent. In some cases, one of the visuals we saw was maybe adjacent to a bus stop.
Yes, and actually it does kind of give off bus stop vibes, the picture I'm looking at, which grabbed the issue, you can see for yourself. And they took cues from Portland for these. They looked at other cities where they're working. There's some questions, like when we also posted this on social media, people wondering about sanitation, but that is part of the plan.
That's self-cleaning all part of it. The way it's designed. And we did have someone comment and say that they had just moved here from Seattle and they didn't work well there and the city ended up selling them off and not using them. It just didn't work out. But I think conceptually, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it does. It's a point of maintenance because they were talking about like people hoarding in there, or were they clean? But that's Seattle, right? And so I think this has already happened in other cities, and Raleigh has that to look at and do better.
Well, and also part of the plan was to increase the bathroom hours and maintenance of like public buildings, some of those bathrooms, and make them accessible. So you have parking signs, you'd see restroom signs to let people know where their options are.
Yeah, I love that.
Because currently I think I don't know if this has changed, but the bathrooms at Moore Square close at a certain time.
Right.
And again, there are problems on both sides. You leave them open, you have problems. If you don't, you have problems. So they've got to figure out how to navigate that. But to me, those are two main issues that affect all of us. We all have to go to the bathroom, and if we're driving, we all have to park.
Well, right. When they have major events, they bring in, you know, extra bathrooms and stuff. But if you're talking about keeping downtown activated on a 24/7 basis, you know, like, then this is something that you want to deal with all the time.
Well, you just spoke to that. Leveraging public spaces. They want to create, this is one of the other things, create a playground, if you will, activating certain sections that are rarely used into full-blown arts areas, music areas where there are concerts. And they have some of these specifically that they're looking at. Lots, parking spots.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about it being sort of like an 18-hour veritable adult playground and, you know, family-friendly too, but outdoor dining, vendor stalls. And, you know, if you think there's other cities that you just walk around, like, I know we're not Manhattan, but when you think about walking the streets there, like it's such a fun time to go around Christmas and just go to the vendors and shop on the streets. And so I'm picturing that sort of like market.
Well, and I love the idea that they want to put, you know how they're cut throughs between I don't know if it's going from Fayetteville Street to Wilmington or the street cut-throughs, sort of light those and make them, you know, artistic and so that they're well-lit. People can go back and forth between different sections of the city.
Yeah, I think ambiance is important. People were excited about that, too, because in the pictures you can see sort of some public art, which is another thing.
Liz in our office was super excited about this idea of creating City Plaza as downtown's front porch and putting a visitor center in. And I do think that's, you know, that's one of those things that you don't know who will use it, but I bet as more and more people visit from out of state or out of city or even in the triangle and you want to know where something is or a recommendation, I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have thought of that until you said it, but she's from outside of Charlotte and the picture in our issue and what they use for DRA was the Charlotte Visitor Info Center. Mm-hmm. And that's where that inspiration is coming from, or one of them. And so, you know, that's something she'd be familiar with and know how that's been used. So it is, you know, we don't think of it like we live here, but I think if there was a central hub, they're also going to have more bathrooms and places like that, places to clean up. Yeah, I like that. Like if you have little kids, I guess is what I was thinking.
And this is one of these, the downtown connector is something I've heard lots of people talk about, is how to connect downtown to Chavis Park and to Dix Park and to create sort of a strollway. Mm-hmm. Melissa can talk about this firsthand as she strolled back from Dreamville.
Oh my gosh, we're coming up on the anniversary of that. And listen, we're going and I'm already pre-anxious about the strolling. Well, I love to walk, don't misunderstand me, but this is not resolved. We'll see how they do it this year.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, so a side note, obviously, but 2 years ago when we walked and you almost came to get us, we were able to actually do what everybody's probably picturing that knows the area and just kind of like cross Western en masse through Boylan. Well, last year, so you think they make it better? No, they made it worse. They made the pedestrians go a mile south and then cross and then come back. And so there's a great podcast about what that did to my feet.
I have said this over and over again. Every time I'm in front of somebody with the city who works on Dreamville, I've said, Melissa needs to be on the committee.
If 100%.
I mean, I think that people who actually go and treat it, you know, there's no VIP. Now, there might be VIP when she gets inside, but in terms of no special access, you go just like everybody else
goes.
That's
true.
And so I think it would be helpful to know, especially since you guys have walked it both years.
Well, and I mean, it's, you know, because we all wear Apple Watches too, like to know what you even do in a festival alone on your feet. And we're all like in shape. It wasn't an issue of that.
No,
it's more just like footwear or other issues. God forbid you have to go to the bathroom. I didn't, but for real, what would
goodness.
You do?
Here we go, back to the bathrooms. But it's also, and obviously our city, yeah, this is not an issue right now, but it could be a safety issue with people crossing traffic, you know, cars, all of that. So
that is a good point. Last year we had a bigger group with the team, but the year before it was just me and Lauren, and we had made friends in the festival and we ended up walking with them. It was this huge group of guys. And I'm sure I would have felt fine if it was just me and her, but it's late.
Yeah.
And we didn't, by the time you walk that and then get an Uber.
White horse. A local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at Shop Village District, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Time to add the mix into the mix of your go-to hotspots with signature craft cocktails and neat pours, 12 rotating craft beers, and 8 rotating fine wines, plus cider and bubbles. The mix has the perfect pour for everyone. Take flight with beer, wine, whiskey, mezcal, and tequila. Or not in the spirit, craft cannabis gummies and high seltzers also invite. Sprawl out on the patio, post up on the couch with your laptop on a weekday, catch the big game on multiple TVs, or cozy up in the wine library for an upscale paired tasting. Weekly events keep the good times coming, from tastings to live music and more. For the full lineup of events and offerings, visit bottlemix.com. Yes, with two X's, so that's bottlemix.com.
Or that.
There you go.
Think at home.
But
at like
I love
one.
The idea. We digress. I love the idea of connecting downtown in some way to Chavis and Dix Park to make those accessible. I think about, you know, I've said it on the podcast before. I lived in Atlanta for years and took my kids back, my boys, and we saw the entire city downtown in a way that I'd never seen it. And I'd lived there several years.
Yeah.
Because we were on scooters, we were on e-bikes, and we hopped on their greenway, if you will. It was awesome.
That is cool. It made me think, we have an announcement coming, and I'm not going to say what it is, but we were all together last week downtown, and we were on a sidewalk. We were about to go in anybody's, and all of a sudden, we saw somebody we knew just, like, pop out of another building and get on a scooter and scoot away,
yes.
And we were like, oh, you know, it's... Yes. Thinking about how people use Raleigh too. And
she's not just teasing you. We have big announcement. It has to do with, you know, Raleigh Magazine's location and some things coming soon.
Exactly.
So there'll be a podcast and lots to talk about.
But on the note, I don't want to like not mention the streetscapes, because we've talked a lot about
yes.
how big the sidewalks are downtown, and now there's a angle to use those to our advantage.
Absolutely. And they talked about, I love that they said, swap the antiquated planters and benches for more outdoor dining and sort of living room style furniture where so it's comfy and you know, you enjoy it. And free up space for walking, outdoor entertainment on the sidewalks.
Yeah, like stages, you know, and not just waiting for hopscotch and things like that,
yes.
but more frequent. I love it.
And everyone knows Raleigh's got an incredible artistic community. And I think one of the recommendations was define an arts and entertainment district within downtown.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that. So if anybody's been to DC to the Wharf, I think, and that's one of the pictures in the issue too, I think hearing these things is exciting, but when you actually think of a place, whether it's in Atlanta or DC, that you can picture how this has played out, I think it makes it much more real. So we have a couple different, like there's a pavilion picture. I can't remember what city that's in off the top of my head, but then the Wharf in DC, I just did that not long ago, and it's so fun. Like just even just walking around,
it helps people visualize it, right? Because you say, let's create bright streetscapes and, you know, we want these push carts for retail. And if you can show how other cities have done it as examples,
yeah.
I think that's why this company they hired has had great success in other cities of all sizes.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's more coming to Fayetteville Street than just the 10-point plan.
There is. So we just announced and shared photos of Sir Walter.
Yeah. So we had broken that news a while ago, but Lauren checked in and they were ready to share the first photos with us. So that's in the issue. You can get it's super cool. Like
so this is going in.
So
this is going in where, if you remember Be Goods, if you're familiar with where Be Goods was on Fayetteville Street,
it's
you know, Haymaker right there in that part. It's across from the Rye Bar, which is in the bottom of the hotel. So it's in a key area.
Down closer to Memorial Auditorium.
Yes.
Martin Marietta. Yes.
And Sir Walter Coffee is not going away.
Right.
That is not closing. They're going to have two locations. And this one's probably going to lean a little bit heavier. It'll have coffee, no doubt, but it'll lean into having a bigger bar scene.
Mm-hmm. So this one will have alcohol. Well, I guess the other one technically has alcohol, but it's almost like more, like you're saying, thoughtful, like day to night, like there'll be a bar.
Right. And I think their food, they're going to have a little heavier food.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to really play to people that are in that Charter Square building. If you want to have a drink with a client after work or stick around for an early dinner.
Yeah, yeah. And beyond just liquor, I feel like the cool thing about the bar is that I do think there's a thoughtful element to that. They're partnering with Kill Devil Rum and Outer Banks Distilling, and they want to have some hard-to-find rums and just kind of showcase some stuff that people aren't familiar with. And then also like Prosecco on tap, so I know you'll like it.
Yep.
So wine, cocktails, and like she said, you know, more complete food program, breakfast, lunch, you know.
And if you haven't been to Sir Walter, go check out the one that's on Davie Street right now.
So good.
It's great. The other thing that's coming that we've talked about before, and we'll have a lot more to share on that in our April issue, is LM Restaurants. Think Carolina, Ale House, mm-hmm. Vidrio, Taverna Agora,
yep.
is opening a new full service concept in the lower level of where we are right now, 150 Fayetteville Street.
Yes.
Formerly known as the Wells Fargo building, but this is going to be an incredible space because it's going to all day parts.
Yep. So like another day tonight, really. I love this. You're really activating both ends of Fayetteville Street that way between this and yes. Sir Walter. But this has got a bunch of really cool elements. The front of this building is an event, I feel like. Yeah. You know, there's swings, there's tables, there's big space. But they're going to have the restaurant on the lower level, like you mentioned, and really take it from day to night. So whether you're coming in for like meeting people for coffee or later for happy hour.
You can pick
up.
Right, exactly. And then they even see it as, you know, date night at the end of the night for dessert and champagne. And they talked a lot about wanting a restaurant that was full service in the sense that if you're down at a festival with family, you've got kids with you, grandparents, the menu is going to be conducive to that. It's going to have a huge patio, and a special artist that they're bringing in from Atlanta is doing something really spectacular on the patio that we can't wait to share with you.
Yeah, so we're hoping to know more about that, including the name and the artists and all that very soon.
And I mean, you know, we love to tell you about the good stuff, but we try to keep it real, and and there's a lot of conversation out there the ABC store was announced for Fayetteville mm-hmm. Street. And I'll admit, at first glance, I was like, woohoo. Because there have been so few ABC store locations and really not one in downtown. But I think there is some concern about how that's going to be operated. And again, don't at me. I get that it's a touchy subject. But given some of the troubles and problems we've had on Fayetteville Street and things the city's dealing mm-hmm. with, just want to make sure that is managed in a way that doesn't counteract what the community, the police, city council is doing to revive the business district and doesn't take us down another troublesome path.
Right. I mean, because, yes, it is a sensitive topic, but sometimes, and there's plenty of ABC stores in the city, and we don't see this at all of them, so it's yet to be determined, but this is also downtown. So sometimes you do have some loitering around places like this, and that kind of brings us to the other part of this, which is the bus station has been a big issue of late, and especially with the free fares. And that little pocket of downtown has gotten a lot of attention for, you know, we've covered crime downtown extensively, but what we've seen is the city has made a very valiant effort to get it under control. Is it's almost, I'm not saying no crime exists outside of Wilmington Street, but it is almost very centric to that pocket in terms of the numbers are elevated in that little, I don't really call it a square, really. And I don't mean more square, but around that area. And the bus station has a lot to do with that.
It does. And I think people who supported the free fares and still think it was a great idea now realize that, you know, sometimes good things, you know, don't need to last forever and they go bad. So this was an idea that maybe it's time for us to do away with that, especially going into spring with temperatures rising and kids getting out of school.
Yeah, Corey Branch, a city council member, just had led a meeting off of Wilmington. It was in Moore Square somewhere around there, a church, with community members in the neighborhood asking for their input and ideas. And it was him and a couple police officers, RPD. And I saw like clips of it. It looked like it was I thought it was really cool. Like the conversation, the snippets they showed, people had some good ideas and their concerns. Mm-hmm. And they weren't angry or, you know, yelling. Everybody was very mild. And I think that's the kind of stuff we need is like
more conversation.
More conversation.
Well, I'll tell you, I was downtown quite a bit this past weekend, and Renfro, the private security company that's working with the city, have their little branded vehicles, and I've seen them all over town. So, I think every there's going to take a lot of pieces to the pie, to the puzzle to solve it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think bringing it full circle, the plans they have for Fayetteville Street and bringing the people back will also just help naturally revitalize some of this.
Mayor Baldwin said that. She goes, you know, the more eyes on the street, more people, less things are going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
just a rapid fire. We haven't done that in a while.
I know. Which of the 10 things do you think will have the biggest impact on getting people back downtown?
Well, So not which one am I most excited about? Okay, so hold on. So I think the biggest impact will probably just be the general activation. Right now, I think people think about it as, oh, I'll go there for Brugaloo or I'll go there for, you know, some other event, Art Explosure. But now I think if it's more generally like a playground all the time, then it's just like, oh, we'll just go downtown.
I think you're right. I don't think it'll see it. We won't see it as a special occasion to go down for a festival. But, and I, you know, sadly, people always say to me, oh, I don't go downtown that much because I don't know where to park. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've got five apps. One of them will tell you the closest parking lot or spot near where you're going. So I think, you know, elevating, lengthening the time and possibly the 2 hours free.
Yeah. And also, I think we should say that connectivity point. That's really stuck with me, like even just from this conversation. You know, we all worked on this story together, but talking about it makes me think about it differently, like having the Dreamville piece. And we've talked a lot about how the more Raleigh grows, the more you can get. We just did a podcast on this. You can get from one pocket of downtown mm-hmm. to another, and it's becoming more walkable and interactive. And so I do think that's a pretty big deal because you wouldn't then see, oh, we're going to Dix Park or we're going to Fayetteville Street.
Right.
It becomes like a, we're doing
you can do both.
Whatever.
Right. Yeah. You just free flow it.
Yep. I love that.
What's one thing from, I mean, we both have spent some time in Chicago and Atlanta that you think or wish we had on Fayetteville Street?
You know, I didn't have my answer until about 5 minutes ago, but I think it is a water feature. And I was thinking about that, you know, the famous Married with Children fountain is in Chicago. And so I don't even mean like Michigan. Obviously they have that too. And they have a river, they have it all, but people really want some, and we know that they want that. They've told us people really want some kind of water. A lot of downtowns and cool cities are built on water, and we can't make. I guess I could do like a land, a man-made lake, but
well, that's similar to what I was thinking of. I was thinking about Centennial Park in Atlanta, where they have a Ferris wheel, and they have the water shoot, you know, water park with water shooting up that kids can play in, or you can sit and enjoy and watch it. I think you know that park area would be nice. Something like that. And not a Ferris wheel that's there for a festival, but something like that that's there all the time.
When you mentioned that before, I was thinking about how when we come down here around first night time and they're setting up and you can see the Ferris wheel, it's like, oh, that's cool. So like, what if that was there all the time?
I know.
It's wild.
I like it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, dish on this, where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.